ever been in a tough place? And so you pray and you pray and you pray, and instead of getting better, things just go from bad to worse. Fat help it is being a Jesus follower. It's so often the way we feel. But what if, what if God is up to something? What if he's getting us ready to experience his power? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and it's great to be with you again. Today we're going to take a look at the plans that God has for you from a different perspective. And stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet. It's called Victory Against Impossible Odds. And I'd love to send you a copy to help you actually live in the power that you already have in Jesus Christ. Now, I know that sometimes in life, I can be a bit of a slow learner. Really, I can. But fortunately, God puts brick walls there in my way for me to run into so that I can learn. And one of the things I've had to learn is that when God wants something done, not only does he want it done, but he's meant to get all the glory, not me. So the way he tends to do things is that he achieves them through his power and not through our strength. Sure, he involves us through our gifts and abilities and our natural motivations and the desires of our heart and our resources and our energies, of course. But when God is up to something, it happens in his power, in his time, often despite thee and me. Whether it's something huge like defeating an army against impossible odds, or whether it's something more on the micro level, changing a person's heart, healing a difficult relationship, I have to tell you, time and time and time again, I have had to learn this lesson. When God is up to something, it happens in his power, not mine. Albeit that he may give me some small role to play in all of that. As I said, I can be a slow learner. How about you? How often do we kind of think to ourselves, God needs a helping hand here. Maybe he's missed this bit. I need more resources. I need to do more. I need to be more involved. Without me, God just can't get this thing done. Hello? We've been journeying with Gideon this last week and a half, and we've seen that God called him to do something impossible, to raise up a small army from amongst Israel in order to defeat the mighty armies of the Midianites and the Amalekites who were oppressing God's chosen people. So finally, God deals with the Israelites by having Gideon tear down the altar to the false god Baal that stood in their midst. Finally, God gets Gideon to the starting line here, but the old Gideon wasn't so sure that he was the man for the job and that this was in fact God's calling on his life. But despite the people, despite the leader, despite us human beings who think we're so vital, so indispensable in God's cause, despite us, God is ready to do his great and mighty work. But there's still another thing he has to deal with. Of course, given these impossible odds, Gideon does what he thinks he should do. He assembles the strongest and largest army that he possibly can. But, slow learner that he is, what he doesn't realize is that this battle, by and large, is God's gig, not his. Let's have a listen to the absolutely crazy thing that God does next. Because, friend, from where you and I sit, from where Gideon sat, from our limited, tiny, narrow human perspectives, the thing that God does next is just plain nuts. Let's have a listen. Judges chapter 7, verses 1 to 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the troops that were with him rose early in a camp beside the spring of Harod, and the camp of Midian was north of them, below the hill of Moreh, in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The troops with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Israel would only take the credit away from me, saying, 'My own hand has delivered me.' Now therefore proclaim this in the hearing of the troops. Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home." Thus Gideon sifted them out. 22,000 returned, and just 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "The troops are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them out for you there. When I say this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. And when I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go with you." So he brought the troops down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "All those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps, you shall put to one side. All those who kneel down to drink, putting their hands to their mouths, you shall put to the other side." The number of those that lapped was 300, but all the rest of the troops knelt down to drink the water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 that lapped, I will deliver you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the others go to their homes." So let's get this straight. Even with the greatest army they can muster, Israel is still facing completely impossible odds. We find out later on that there were around 135,000 Midianites and Amalekites. Just stop. 135,000. But now God reveals his hand, because above and beyond winning the battle, he has another purpose: to glorify himself so that his chosen people Israel will seek him and honor him and give him thanks and worship him. God is in the business of restoring his throne amongst his people. Have another listen to his thinking here. The Lord says to Gideon, "The troops that you have are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Israel would only take the credit away from me, saying, 'My own hand has delivered me.'" Do you see it? God wants his people to know that he delivered them by his might and his power. And so first, he weeds out the weak-hearted, those who rather wouldn't stand on God's behalf. "Send them home," he says to Gideon. But then the strangest thing, "Get them to drink water. Those who kneel down and cup the water with their hands, get rid of them. Take the ones who crouch down more like dogs to lap up the water. Take the minority, the weaker ones, the ones that behave more like dogs than like human beings. Do you see, Gideon? With this remnant, I will deliver you." As I said, it's completely nuts from a human perspective, but not from God's. Because God was in the business of winning this battle on Israel's behalf. And in order that they should understand that and acknowledge that they had won in God's power and not through their own strength, he pares back their strength so that there can be absolutely no mistaking that it was God's power that overcame the enemy. Have you ever found yourself in a place where things aren't going so well? Where you're facing impossible odds, things just are going terribly. So you pray and you pray, and instead of getting better, they just go from bad to worse. And we kind of wonder, what the blazes is going on here? God, what are you doing? Didn't you hear my prayer? Aren't you going to deliver me? What you're doing here, God, is nuts. It doesn't make sense. That's how we carry on. That's how it looks from our narrow perspective. But more often than not, God is testing our hearts. He's teaching us his ways. He's knocking our support mechanisms out from under us. No more leaning on this crutch or that one, because he wants us to trust him. Not in anyone else, not in nothing else, not in our own strength. God. We want more and more. He wants less and less, because less is more. Why? Because when we have nothing left in our arsenal, and when we have no one else to turn to, then God is our only one. And friend, it's in that place, that apparently lonely wilderness, that God comes in his power to deliver us. We're going to look at that together another time, how he delivers us. Today I just want to encourage you in the knowledge that however impossible the odds appear, however big the problem, however bad things are getting, he is in that place with you. He is at work in your circumstances, even the ones that appear so negative. And he will deliver you. And when he does, blind Freddy will be able to see that it was his power and not yours that won the day. That's something he never, ever wants us to forget. Ever. We all have things going on in our lives that are getting us down. Things that seem to be defeating us. Things that seem to be robbing us of God's peace and his joy. So I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called Victory Against Impossible Odds. And it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live in the victory and lay hold of the joy that you have in Jesus Christ. At the end of each chapter, there are actually some life application questions to help you apply God's word right into the challenges in your life. To request your copy, stop by at our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and your email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is christianityworks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.